You won't be here for Christmas. I'm here now. He pulled his mouth up on one side and leaned down to kiss my lips. I leaned back and shook my head. Trav. His grip tightened, and he lowered his chin, his chestnut eyes determined. I've got less than 24 hours with you, Pidge. I'm gonna kiss you. I'm gonna kiss you a lot today. All day. Every chance I get. If you want me to stop, just say the word, but until you do, I'm going to make every second of my last day with you count. Travis, I thought about it for a moment, and I reasoned that he was under no illusions about what would happen when he took me home. I had come there to pretend, and as hard as it would be for us both later, I didn't want to tell him no. When he noticed me staring at his lips, the corner of his mouth turned up again, and he leaned down to press his soft mouth against mine. It began sweet and innocent, but the moment his lips parted, I caressed his tongue with mine. His body instantly tensed, and he took a deep breath in through his nose, pressing his body against me. I let my knee fall to the side, and he moved above me, never taking his mouth from mine. He wasted no time undressing me, and when there was no more fabric between us, he gripped the iron vines of the headboard with both hands, and in one quick movement, he was inside me. I bit my lip hard, stifling the cry that was clawing its way up my throat. Travis moaned against my mouth, and I pressed my feet against the mattress, anchoring myself so I could raise my hips to meet his. One hand on the iron and the other on the nape of my neck, he rocked against me over and over, and my legs quivered with his firm, determined movements. His tongue searched my mouth, and I could feel the vibration of his deep groans against my chest, as he kept to his promise to make our last day together memorable. I could spend 1,000 years trying to block that moment from my memory, and it would still be burned into my mind. An hour had passed when I clenched my eyes shut, my every nerve focused on the shuddering of my insides. Travis held his breath as he thrust inside me one last time. I collapsed against the mattress, completely spent. Travis heaved with deep breaths, speechless and dripping with sweat. I could hear voices downstairs, and I covered my mouth, giggling at our misbehavior. Travis turned on his side and scanned my face with his soft brown eyes. You said you were just going to kiss me, I grinned. As I lay next to his bare skin, seeing the unconditional love in his eyes, I let go of my disappointment, and my anger, and my stubborn resolve. I loved him, and no matter what my reasons were to live without him, I knew it wasn't what I wanted. Even if I hadn't changed my mind, it was impossible for us to stay away from each other. Why don't we just stay in bed all day? He smiled. I came here to cook, remember? No, you came here to help me cook, and I don't report for duty for another 8 hours. I touched his face. The urge to end our suffering had become unbearable. When I told him I had changed my mind and that things were back to normal, we wouldn't have to spend the day pretending. We could spend it celebrating instead. Travis? I think we... Don't say it, okay? I don't want to think about it until I have to. He stood up and pulled on his boxers, walking over to my bag. He tossed my clothes on the bed and then yanked his shirt over his head. I want to remember this as a good day. I made eggs for breakfast and sandwiches for lunch, and when the game began, I started dinner. Travis stood behind me at every opportunity, his arms wrapped around my waist, his lips on my neck. I caught myself glancing at the clock, eager to find a moment alone with him to tell him my decision. I was anxious to see the look on his face, and to get back to where we were. The day was filled with laughter, conversation, and a steady stream of complaints from Tyler about Travis's constant display of affection. Get a room, Travis, Jesus, Tyler groaned. You are turning a hideous shade of green, Thomas teased. It's because they're making me sick. I'm not jealous, douchebag, Tyler sneered. Leave him alone, Ty, Jim warned. When we sat down for dinner, Jim insisted on Travis carving the turkey, and I smiled as he proudly stood up to comply. I was a bit nervous until the compliments washed in. By the time I served the pie, there wasn't a morsel of food left on the table. Did I make enough? I laughed. Jim smiled, pulling his fork through his lips to get ready for dessert. You made plenty, Abby. We just wanted to tide ourselves over until next year. Unless you'd like to do this all over again at Christmas. You're a Maddox now. I expect you at every holiday. And not to cook. I glanced over at Travis, whose smile had faded, and my heart sank. I had to tell him soon. Thanks, Jim.
Don't tell her that, Dad, Trenton said. She's gotta cook. I haven't had a meal like this since I was 5.
He shoveled half a slice of pecan pie into his mouth, humming with satisfaction. I felt at home, sitting at a table full of men that were leaning back in their chairs, rubbing their full bellies. Emotion overwhelmed me when I fantasized about Christmas, and Easter, and every other holiday I would spend at that table. I wanted nothing more than to be a part of this broken, loud family that I adored. When the pies were gone, Travis's brothers began to clear the table, and the twins manned the sink.
I'll do that, I said, standing.
Jim shook his head. No, you don't. The boys can take care of it. You just take Travis to the couch and relax. You've worked hard, sis.
The twins splashed each other with dishwater, and Trenton cussed when he slipped on a puddle and dropped a plate. Thomas chastised his brothers, getting the broom and dustpan to sweep up the glass. Jim patted his sons on the shoulders and then hugged me before retreating to his room for the night. Travis pulled my legs onto his lap and slipped off my shoes, massaging the soles of my feet with his thumbs. I leaned my head back and sighed. This was the best Thanksgiving we've had since Mom died. I pulled my head up to see his expression. He was smiling, but it was tinged with sadness. I'm glad I was here to see it. Travis's expression changed, and I braced myself for what he was about to say. My heart pounded against my chest, hoping he would ask me back so I could say yes. Las Vegas seemed like a lifetime ago, sitting in the home of my new family. I'm different. I don't know what happened to me in Vegas. That wasn't me. I was thinking about everything we could buy with that money, and that was all I was thinking about. I didn't see how much it hurt you for me to want to take you back there. But deep down, I think I knew. I deserved for you to leave me. I deserved all the sleep I lost and the pain I felt. I needed all that to realize how much I need you, and what I'm willing to do to keep you in my life. I chewed on my lip, impatient to get to the part where I said yes. I wanted him to take me back to the apartment and spend the rest of the night celebrating. I couldn't wait to relax on the new couch with Toto, watching movies and laughing like we used to. You said you're done with me, and I accept that. I'm a different person since I met you. I've changed, for the better. But no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to do right by you. We were friends first, and I can't lose you, Pigeon. I will always love you. But if I can't make you happy, it doesn't make sense for me to try to get you back. I can't imagine being with anyone else, but I'll be happy as long as we're friends. You want to be friends? I asked, the words burning in my mouth. I want you to be happy. Whatever that takes. My insides wrenched at his words, and I was surprised at the overpowering pain I felt. He was giving me an out, and it was exactly when I didn't want it. I could have told him that I had changed my mind, and he would take back everything he just said. But I knew that it wasn't fair to either of us to hold on just when he had let go. I smiled to fight the tears. $50 says you'll be thanking me for this when you meet your future wife. Travis's eyebrows pulled together as his face fell. That's an easy bet. The only woman I'd ever want to marry just broke my heart. I couldn't fake a smile after that. I wiped my eyes and then stood up. I think it's time you took me home. Come on, Pigeon, I'm sorry, that wasn't funny. It's not that, Trav. I'm just tired and I'm ready to go home. He sucked in a breath and nodded, standing up. I hugged his brothers goodbye and asked Trenton to say goodbye to Jim for me. Travis stood at the door with our bags as they all agreed to come home for Christmas, and I held my smile long enough to get out the door. When Travis walked me to Morgan, his face was still sad, but the torment was gone. The weekend wasn't a stunt to get me back after all. It was closure. He leaned over to kiss my cheek and held the door open for me, watching as I walked inside. Thanks for today. You don't know how happy you made my family. I stopped at the bottom of the stairs. You're going to tell them tomorrow, aren't you? He looked out to the parking lot and then at me.
I'm pretty sure they already know. You're not the only one with a poker face, Pidge.
I stared at him, stunned. And for the first time since I'd met him, he walked away from me without looking back. Chapter 18, The Box. Finals were a curse for everyone but me. I kept busy studying with Kara and America, in my room and at the library.
I only saw Travis in passing when the schedules changed for tests. I went home with America for winter break, thankful that Shepley had stayed with Travis, so I wouldn't suffer their constant displays of affection. The last 4 days of break, I caught a cold, giving me a good reason to stay in bed. Travis said he wanted to be friends, but he hadn't called. It was a relief to have a few days to wallow in self-pity. I wanted to get it out of my system before returning to school. The return trip to Eastern seemed to take years. I was eager to start the spring semester, but I was far more eager to see Travis again. The first day of classes, a fresh energy had swept over the campus along with a blanket of snow. New courses meant new friends and a new beginning. I didn't have a single class with Travis, Parker, Shepley, or America, but Finch was in all but one of mine. I anxiously waited for Travis at lunch, but when he came in, he simply winked at me, and then sat at the end of the table with the rest of his frat brothers. I tried to concentrate on America and Finch's conversation about the last football game of the season, but Travis's voice kept catching my attention. He was regaling tales of his adventures and brushes with the law he'd had over the break, and news of Trenton's new girlfriend they'd met one night while they were at the Red Door. I braced myself for mention of any girl he'd brought home or met, but if he had, he wasn't sharing it with his friends. Red and gold metallic balls still hung from the ceiling of the cafeteria, blowing with the current of the heaters. I pulled my cardigan around me, and Finch noticed, hugging me to him and rubbing my arm. I knew that I was paying far too much attention to Travis's general direction, waiting for him to look up at me, but he seemed to have forgotten that I was sitting at the table. He seemed impervious to the hordes of girls that approached him after news of our breakup, but he was also content with our relationship, returning to its platonic state, however strained. We had spent almost a month apart, leaving me nervous and unsure about how to act around him. Once he finished his lunch, my heart fluttered when he walked up behind me and rested his hands on my shoulders. "How's your classes, Shep?" he asked. Shepley's face pinched. "First day sucks. Hours of syllabi and class rules. I don't even know why I show up the first week. How about you?" It's all part of the game. How about you, Pidge?" he asked.
"The same," I said, trying to keep my voice casual.
"Did you have a good break?" he asked, playfully swaying me from side to side.
"Pretty good," I said. I tried my best to sound convincing.
"Sweet. I've got another class. Later."
I watched him make a beeline for the doors, shoving them both open, and then lighting a cigarette as he walked.
"Huh," America said in a high-pitched tone. She watched Travis cut across the greens through the snow and then shook her head.
"What?" Shepley asked.
America rested her chin on the heel of her hand, seeming vexed.
"That was kind of weird, wasn't it?"
"How so?" Shepley asked, flicking America's blonde braid back to brush his lips across her neck. America smiled and leaned in to kiss him.
"He's almost normal as Trav can be. What's up with him?"
Shepley shook his head and shrugged. "I don't know. He's been that way for a while."
"How backwards is that, Abby? He's fine and you're miserable," America said, unconcerned with listening ears.
"You're miserable?" Shepley asked with a surprised expression.
My mouth fell open, and my face flamed with instant embarrassment.
"I am not."
She pushed her salad around in the bowl.
"Well, he's damn near ecstatic."
"Drop it, Mare," I warned. She shrugged and took another bite.
"I think he's faking it."
Shepley nudged her.
"America, you going to the Valentine's Day date party with me or what?"
"Can't you just ask me like a normal boyfriend, nicely?"
"I have asked you, repeatedly. You keep telling me to ask you later."
She slumped in her chair, pouting.
"I don't want to go without Abby."
Shepley's face screwed with frustration.
"She was with Trav the whole time last time. You barely saw her."
"Quit being a baby, Mare," I said, throwing a stick of celery at her. Finch elbowed me.
"I take you, Cupcake, but I'm not into the frat boy thing. Sorry."
"That's actually a damn good idea," Shepley said, his eyes bright. Finch grimaced at the thought.
"I'm not Sig Tau, Shep. I'm not anything. Fraternities are against my religion."
"Please, Finch?" America asked.
"Deja vu," I grumbled.
Finch looked at me from the corner of his eye and then sighed.
"It's nothing personal, Abby. I can't say I've ever been on a date with a girl."
"I know.
I shook my head dismissively, waving away my deep embarrassment.
It's fine, really.
I need you there, America said. We made a pact, remember? No parties alone.
You'll hardly be alone, Mayor. Quit being so dramatic, I said, already annoyed with the conversation.
You want dramatic?
I pulled a trash can beside your bed, held a box of Kleenex for you all night, and got up to get you cough medicine twice when you were sick over break. You owe me.
I wrinkled my nose. I have kept your hair vomit-free so many times, America Mason.
You sneezed in my face, she said, pointing to her nose.
I blew my bangs from my eyes. I could never argue with America when she was determined to get her way.
Fine, I said through my teeth.
Finch, I asked him with my best fake smile. Will you go to the stupid Sig Tau Valentine's Day party with me?
Finch hugged me to his side.
Yes, but only because you called it stupid.
I walked with Finch to class after lunch, discussing the date party and how much we were both dreading it. We picked out a pair of desks in our physiology class, and I shook my head when the professor began my fourth syllabus of the day. The snow began to fall again, drifting against the windows, politely begging entrance and then falling with disappointment to the ground. After class dismissed, a boy I'd met only once at the Sig Tau house knocked on my desk as he walked by, winking. I offered a polite smile and then glanced over to Finch. He shot me a wry grin, and I gathered my book and laptop, shoving them into my backpack with little effort. I lugged my bag over my shoulders and trudged to Morgan along the salted sidewalk. A small group of students had started a snowball fight on the greens, and Finch shuddered at the sight of them, covered in colorless powder. I wobbled my knee, keeping Finch company as he finished his cigarette. America scurried beside us, rubbing her bright green mittens together.
Where's Shep? I asked.
He went home. Travis needed help with something, I guess.
You didn't go with him?
I don't live there, Abby.
Only in theory, Finch winked at her. America rolled her eyes.
I enjoy spending time with my boyfriend, so sue me.
Finch flicked his cigarette into the snow. I'm heading out, ladies. I'll see you at dinner.
America and I nodded, smiling when Finch first kissed my cheek and then America's. He stayed on the wet sidewalk, careful to stay in the middle so that he wouldn't miss and step into the snow. America shook her head at his efforts.
He is ridiculous.
He's a Floridian, Mayor. He's not used to the snow.
She giggled and pulled me toward the door.
Abby!
I turned, to see Parker jogging past Finch. He stopped, catching his breath a moment before he spoke. His puffy gray coat heaved with each breath, and I chuckled at America's curious stare as she watched him.
I was going to ask you if you wanted to grab a bite to eat tonight.
I already told Finch I'd eat with him.
All right, it's no big deal. I was just going to try that new burger place downtown. Everyone's saying it's really good.
Maybe next time, I said, realizing my mistake. I hoped that he wouldn't take my flippant reply as a postponement.
He nodded and shoved his hands in his pockets, quickly walking back the way he came.
Kara was reading ahead in her brand new books, grimacing at America and I when we walked in. Her demeanor hadn't improved since we'd returned from break. Before, I had spent so much time at Travis's that Kara's insufferable comments and attitude were tolerable. Spending every evening and night with her during the 2 weeks before the semester ended made my decision not to room with America more than just regrettable.
Oh, Kara, how I've missed you, America said.
The feeling is mutual, Kara grumbled, keeping her eyes on her book.
America chatted about her day and plans with Shepley for the weekend. We scoured the internet for funny videos, laughing so hard we were wiping away tears. Kara huffed a few times at our disruption, but we ignored her. I was grateful for America's visit. The hours passed so quickly that I didn't spend a moment wondering if Travis had called until she decided to call it a night. America yawned and looked at her watch.
I'm going to bed.
Oh, shit, she said, snapping her fingers. I left my makeup bag at Shep's.
That's not a tragedy, Mare, I said, still giggling from the latest video we'd watched.
It wouldn't be if I didn't have my birth control in there. Come on, I have to go get it.
Can't you just get Shepley to bring them?
Travis has his car. He's at the Red with Trent.
I felt sick.
Again? Why is he hanging out with Trent so much anyway? America shrugged. Does it matter? Come on,
I don't want to run into Travis. It'll be weird. Do you ever listen to me? He's not there. He's at the Red. Come on! She whined, tugging on my arm. I stood up with mild resistance as she pulled me from the room.
Finally, Kara said.
We pulled up to Travis's apartment, and I noted that the Harley was parked under the stairs, and that Shepley's charger was missing. I breathed a sigh of relief and followed America up the icy steps.
Careful, she warned.
If I'd known how unsettling it would be to step foot in the apartment again, I wouldn't have let America talk me into going there. Toto scampered around the corner at full speed, crashing into my legs when his tiny paws failed to get traction on the entryway tile. I picked him up, letting him greet me with his baby kisses. At least he hadn't forgotten me. I carried him around the apartment, waiting while America searched for her bag. I know I left it here, she said from the bathroom, stomping down the hall to Shepley's room.
Did you look in the cabinet under the sink?
Shepley asked. I looked at my watch. Hurry, Mare, we need to get going. America sighed in frustration from the bedroom. I looked down at my watch again, and then jumped when the front door burst open behind me. Travis stumbled in, his arms wrapped around Megan, who was giggling against his mouth. A box in her hand caught my eye, and I felt sick when I realized what it was. Condoms. Her other hand was on the back of his neck, and I couldn't tell whose arms were tangled around who. Travis did a double take when he saw me standing alone in the middle of the living room, and when he froze, Megan looked up, with a residual smile still on her face.
Pigeon, Travis said, stunned.
Found it, America said, jogging out of Shepley's room.
What are you doing here?
He asked. The stench of whiskey blew in with the flurry of snowflakes, and my uncontrollable anger overcame any need to feign indifference.
It's good to see you're feeling like your old self, Trav, I said. The heat that radiated from my face burned my eyes and blurred my vision.
We were just leaving, America snarled. She grabbed my hand as we slid past Travis. We flew down the steps toward her car, and I was thankful that it was just a few steps further, feeling the tears well up in my eyes. I almost fell backward when my coat snagged on something mid-step. America's hand slipped from mine, and she flipped around the same time I did. Travis had a fistful of my coat, and my ears caught fire, stinging in the cold night air. His lips and collar were a ridiculous shade of deep red.
Where are you going? He said, a half-drunk, half-confused look in his eyes.
Home, I snapped, straightening my coat when he released me.
What are you doing here?
I could hear the packed snow crunch under America's feet as she walked up behind me, and Shepley flew down the stairs to stand behind Travis, his wary eyes fixed on his girlfriend.
I'm sorry. If I'd known you were going to be here, I wouldn't have come.
He shoved his hands in his coat pockets.
You can come here any time you want, Pidge. I never wanted you to stay away.
I couldn't manage the acidity in my voice.
I don't want to interrupt.
I looked to the top of the stairs where Megan stood with a smug expression. Enjoy your evening, I said, turning away. He grabbed my arm.
Wait! You're mad?
I yanked my coat from his grip.
You know, I don't even know why I'm surprised.
His eyebrows pulled in.
I can't win with you. I can't win with you! You say you're done. I'm fucking miserable over here. I had to break my phone into a million pieces to keep from calling you every minute of the damn day. I've had to play it off like everything is just fine at school so you can be happy, and you're fucking mad at me? You broke my fucking heart!
His last words echoed into the night.
Travis, you're drunk. Let Abby go home, Shepley said.
Travis grabbed my shoulders and pulled me to him.
Do you want me or not? You can't keep doing this to me, Pidge.
I didn't come here to see you, I said, glaring up at him.
I don't want her, he said, staring at my lips. I'm just so fucking unhappy, Pigeon.
His eyes glossed over and he leaned in, tilting his head to kiss me. I grabbed him by the chin, holding him back.
You've got her lipstick on your mouth, Travis, I said, disgusted.
He took a step back and lifted his shirt, wiping his mouth. He stared at the red streaks on the white fabric and shook his head.
I just wanted to forget, just for one fucking night.
I wiped an escaped tear.
Then don't let me stop you.
I tried to retreat to the Honda, but Travis grabbed my arm again. In the next moment, America was wildly hitting his arm with her fists. He looked at her, blinking for a moment in stunned disbelief. She balled up her fists and pounded them against his chest until he released me.
Leave her alone, you bastard!
Shepley grabbed her and she pushed him away, turning to slap Travis's face. The sound of her hand against his cheek was quick and loud, and I flinched with the noise. Everyone froze for a moment, shocked at America's sudden rage. Travis frowned, but he didn't defend himself. Shepley grabbed her again, holding her wrists, and pulling her to the Honda while she thrashed about. She fought him violently, her blonde hair whipping around with her attempts to get away. I was amazed at her determination to get at Travis. Pure hate glowed in her usually sweet, carefree eyes.
How could you? She deserved better from you, Travis! America, stop!
Shepley yelled, louder than I'd ever heard him. Her arms fell to her side as she glared at Shepley with incredulity. You're defending him? Although he seemed nervous, he stood his ground.
Abby broke up with him. He's just trying to move on.
Her eyes narrowed, and she pulled her arm from his grip.
Well then, why don't you go find a random whore?
She looked at Megan.
From the Red and bring her home to fuck. And then let me know if it helps you get over me. Mayor.
Shepley grabbed for her, but she evaded him, slamming the door as she sat behind the wheel. I sat beside her, trying not to look at Travis.
Baby, don't leave,
Shepley begged, leaning down into the window. She started the car.
There's a right side and a wrong side here, Shep, and you are on the wrong side.
I'm on your side, he said, his eyes desperate.
Not anymore, you're not, she said, backing out. America? America!
Shepley called after her as she raced to the road, leaving him behind. I sighed.
Mayor, you can't break up with him over this. He's right.
America put her hand on mine and squeezed.
No, he's not. Nothing about what just happened was right.
When we pulled into the parking lot beside Morgan, America's phone rang. She rolled her eyes as she answered.
I don't want you calling me anymore. I mean it, Shep, she said.
No, you're not.
Because I don't want you to, that's why. You can't defend what he's done. You can't condone him hurting Abby like that and be with me. That's exactly what I mean, Shepley. It doesn't matter. You don't see Abby screwing the first guy she sees. It's not Travis that's the problem, Shepley. He didn't ask you to defend him. Ugh! I'm done talking about this. Don't call me again. Goodbye.
She shoved her way out of the car and stomped across the road and up the steps. I tried to keep in step with her, waiting to hear his side of their conversation. When her phone rang again, she turned it off.
Travis made Shep take Megan home. He wanted to come by on his way back.
You should let him, Mayor.
No. You're my best friend. I can't stomach what I saw tonight, and I can't be with someone that will defend it. End of conversation, Abby. I mean it.
I nodded and she hugged my shoulders, pulling me against her side as we walked up the stairs to our rooms. Kara was already asleep, and I skipped the shower, crawling into bed fully dressed, coat and all. I couldn't stop thinking about Travis, stumbling in the door with Megan, or the red lipstick smeared across his face. I tried to block out the sickening images of what would have happened had I not been there, and I crossed over several emotions, settling on despair. Shepley was right. I had no right to be angry. But it didn't help me to ignore the pain. Finch shook his head when I sat in the desk beside him. I knew that I looked awful. I barely had the energy to change clothes and brush my teeth. I had only slept an hour the night before, unable to shake the sight of the red lipstick on Travis's mouth or the guilt over Shepley and America's breakup. America chose to stay in bed, knowing once the anger subsided, depression would set in. She loved Shepley, and although she was determined to end things because he had picked the wrong side, she was prepared to suffer the backlash of her decision. After class, Finch walked with me to the cafeteria. As I had feared, Shepley was waiting at the door for America. When he saw me, he didn't hesitate.
Where's Mayor?
She didn't go to class this morning.
She's in her room? He said, turning for Morgan.
I'm sorry, Shepley,
I called after him. He froze and wheeled around, with the face of a man that had reached his limit.
I wish you and Travis would just get your shit together. You're a goddamn tornado. When you're happy, it's love and peace and butterflies. When you're pissed, you take the whole fucking world down with you.
He stomped away and I exhaled the breath I was holding.
That went well.
Finch pulled me into the cafeteria.
The whole world, wow.
Think you could work your voodoo before the test on Friday?
I'll see what I can do.
Finch chose a different table, and I was more than happy to follow him there. Travis sat with his frat brothers, but he didn't get a tray and he didn't stay long. He noticed me just as he was leaving, but he didn't stop. So America and Shepley broke up too, huh? Finch asked while he chewed.
We were at Shep's last night and Travis came home with Megan and... it was a mess.
They took sides.
Ouch.
Exactly, I feel terrible. Finch patted my back.
You can't control the decisions they make, Abby. So I guess this means we get to skip the Valentine's thing at Sig Tau?
Looks that way.
Finch smiled.
I'll still take you out.
I'll take you and Mare both out. It'll be fun.
I leaned on his shoulder. You're the best, Finch.
I hadn't thought about Valentine's, but I was glad I had plans. I couldn't imagine how miserable I would feel spending it with America alone, hearing her rant about Shepley and Travis all night. She would still do that. She wouldn't be America if she didn't. But at least it would be a limited tirade if we were in public.
The weeks of January passed, and after a commendable but failed attempt by Shepley to get America back, I saw less and less of both him and Travis. By February, they stopped coming to the cafeteria altogether, and I only saw Travis a handful of times on my way to class. The weekend before Valentine's Day, America and Finch talked me into going to the Red, and the entire drive to the club, I dreaded seeing Travis there. We walked in, and I sighed with relief to see no sign of him.
First round's on me, Finch said, pointing at a table and sliding through the crowd to the bar.
We sat down and watched as the dance floor went from being empty to overflowing with drunken college students. After our fifth round, Finch pulled us to the dance floor, and I finally felt relaxed enough to have a good time. We giggled and bumped against each other, laughing hysterically when a man swung his dance partner around and she missed his hand, sliding across the floor on her side. America raised her hands above her head, shaking her curls to the music. I laughed at her signature dance face and then stopped abruptly when I saw Shepley walk up behind her. He whispered something in her ear and she flipped around. They traded words, and then America grabbed my hand, leading me to our table.
Of course, the one night we go out and he shows up, she grumbled.
Finch brought us two more drinks, including a shot each.
I thought you might need them.
You thought right.
America tilted her head back before we could toast, and I shook my head, clinking my glass to Finch's. I tried to keep my eyes on my friends' faces, worried that with Shepley being there, Travis wouldn't be far behind. Another song came over the speakers and America stood up.
Fuck it. I'm not sitting at this table the rest of the night. Atta girl.
Finch smiled, following her to the dance floor. I followed them, glancing around for Shepley. He had disappeared. I relaxed again, trying to shake off the feeling that Travis would show up on the dance floor with Megan. A boy I'd seen around campus danced behind America, and she smiled, welcoming the distraction. I had a suspicion that she was making a show of enjoying herself in hopes that Shepley would see. I looked away for a second, and when I looked back to America, her dance partner was gone. She shrugged, continuing to shake her hips to the beat. The next song began to play and a different boy appeared behind America, his friend dancing next to me. After a few moments, my new dance partner maneuvered behind me, and I felt a bit unsure when I felt his hands on my hips. As if he'd read my mind, his hands left my waist. I looked behind me, and he was gone. I looked up to America, and the man behind her was gone as well. Finch seemed a bit nervous, but when America raised an eyebrow at his expression, he shook his head and continued dancing. By the third song, I was sweaty and tired. I retreated to our table, resting my heavy head on my hand, and laughed as I watched yet another hopeful ask America to dance. She winked at me from the dance floor, and then I stiffened when I saw him yanked backwards, disappearing through the crowd. I stood up and walked around the dance floor, keeping my eye on the hole he was pulled through, and felt the adrenaline burn through the alcohol in my veins when I saw Shepley holding the surprised man by his collar. Travis was beside him, laughing hysterically until he looked up and saw me watching them. He hit Shepley's arm, and when Shepley looked in my direction, he shoved his victim backward onto the floor. It didn't take me long to figure out what was going on. They had been yanking the guys that were dancing with us off the dance floor and threatening them to stay away from us. I narrowed my eyes at them both, and then made my way to America. The crowd was thick, and I had to shove a few people out of my way. Shepley grabbed my hand before I made it to the dance floor.
Don't tell her, he said, trying to subdue his smile.
What the hell do you think you're doing, Shep?
He shrugged, so proud of himself.
I love her. I can't let other guys dance with her.
Then what's your excuse for yanking the guy that was dancing with me? I said, crossing my arms.
That wasn't me,
Shepley said, quickly glancing at Travis.
Sorry, Abby. We were just having fun.
Not funny.
What's not funny?
America said, glaring at Shepley. He swallowed, shooting a pleading look in my direction. I owed him a favor, so I kept my mouth shut. He sighed in relief when he realized I wouldn't rat him out, and then he looked at America with sweet adoration.
Want to dance?
No, I don't want to dance, she said, walking back to the table. He followed her, leaving Travis and I standing together.
Travis shrugged. Want to dance?
What, Megan's not here?
He shook his head. You used to be a sweet drunk.
Happy to disappoint you, I said, turning toward the bar. He followed, pulling two guys from their seats. I glared at him for a moment, but he ignored me, sitting down and then watching me with an expectant expression.
Are you gonna sit? I'll buy you a beer.
I thought you didn't buy drinks for girls at the bar. He tilted his head in my direction with an impatient frown.
You're different.
That's what you keep telling me.
Come on, Pidge. What happened to us being friends?
We can't be friends, Travis, obviously.
Why not?
Because I don't want to watch you maul a different girl every night, and you won't let anyone dance with me.
He smiled.
I love you.
I can't let other guys dance with you.
Oh, yeah? How much did you love me when you were buying that box of condoms?
Travis winced and I stood up, making my way to the table. Shepley and America were in a tight embrace and making a scene while they kissed passionately.
I think we're going to the Sig Tau Date Valentine's party again, Finch said with a frown.
I sighed. Shit. Chapter 19. Hellerton. America hadn't been back to Morgan since her reunion with Shepley. She was consistently absent at lunch, and her phone calls were few and far between. I didn't begrudge them the time to make up for the time they'd spent apart. Truthfully, I was happy that America was too busy to call me from Shepley and Travis's apartment. It was awkward hearing Travis in the background, and I felt a little jealous that she was spending time with him and I wasn't. Finch and I were seeing more of each other, and I was selfishly thankful that he was just as alone as I was. We went to class, ate together, studied together, and even Kara grew accustomed to having him around. My fingers were beginning to numb from the frigid air as I stood outside Morgan while he smoked.
Would you consider quitting before I get hypothermia from standing here for moral support? I asked.
Finch laughed.
I love you, Abby. I really do. But no, not quitting.
Abby?
I turned to see Parker walking down the sidewalk with his hands shoved in his pockets. His full lips were dry under his red nose, and I laughed when he put an imaginary cigarette to his mouth and blew out a puff of misty air.
You could save a lot of money this way, Finch, he smiled.
Why is everyone trashing on my smoking habit today? He asked, annoyed.
What's up, Parker? I asked. He fished two tickets from his pocket.
That new Vietnam movie is out? You said you wanted to see it the other day, so I thought I would grab us some tickets for tonight.
No pressure, Finch said.
I can go with Brad if you have plans, he said with a shrug.
So it's not a date? I asked.
Nope, just friends.
And we've seen how that works out for you, Finch teased.
Shut up, I giggled.
That sounds fun, Parker. Thanks.
His eyes brightened.
Would you like to get some pizza or something before? I'm not a big fan of theater food myself.
Pizza's great, I nodded.
The movie's at 9, so I'll pick you up at 6:30 or so.
I nodded again, and Parker waved goodbye.
Oh, Jesus, Finch said. You're a glutton, Abby. You know that's not going to fly with Travis when he gets wind of it.
You heard him. It's not a date. And I can't make plans based on what is okay with Travis. He didn't clear it with me before he brought Megan home.
You're never going to let that go, are you?
Probably not. No. We sat in a corner booth, and I rubbed my mittens together trying to get warm. I couldn't help but notice we were in the same booth Travis and I sat in when we first met, and I smiled at the memory of that day.
What's funny? Parker asked.
I just like this place. Good times.
I noticed the bracelet, he said.
I looked down at the sparkling diamonds on my wrist.
I told you I liked it.
The waitress handed us menus and took our drink orders. Parker updated me on his spring schedule and talked about the progress in his studies for the MCAT. By the time the waitress served our beers, Parker had barely taken a breath. He seemed nervous, and I wondered if he wasn't under the impression that we were on a date,
regardless of what he'd said. He cleared his throat. I'm sorry. I think I've monopolized the conversation long enough. He tipped his beer bottle and shook his head. I just haven't talked to you for any length of time in so long that I suppose I had a lot to say. It's fine. It has been a long time. Just then the door chimed. I turned to see Travis and Shepley walk in. It took Travis less than a second to meet my stare, but he didn't look surprised. Jesus, I muttered under my breath. What? Parker asked, turning to see them sit in a booth across the room. There's a burger place down the street we can go to, Parker said in a hushed voice. As nervous as he was before, it had taken to a whole new level. I think it would be more awkward to leave at this point, I grumbled. His face fell, defeated. You're probably right. We tried to continue our conversation, but it was noticeably forced and uncomfortable. The waitress spent an extended period of time at Travis's table, raking her fingers through her hair and shifting her weight from one foot to the other. She finally remembered to take our order when Travis answered his cell phone. I'll have the tortellini, Parker said, looking to me. And I'll have... I trailed off. I was distracted when Travis and Shepley stood up. Travis followed Shepley to the door, but he hesitated, stopped, and turned around. When he saw me watching him, he walked straight across the room. The waitress had an expectant smile, as if she thought he had come to say goodbye. She was quickly disappointed when he stood beside me, without so much as blinking in her direction. I've got a fight in 45 minutes, Pidge. I want you there. Trav, his face was stoic, but I could see the tension around his eyes. I wasn't sure if he didn't want to leave my dinner with Parker to fate, or if he truly wanted me there with him. But I had made my decision the second he'd asked. I need you there. It's a rematch with Brady Hoffman, the guy from State. It's a big crowd, lots of money floating around, and Adam says Brady's been training. You fought him before, Travis. You know it's an easy win. Abby, Parker said quietly. I need you there, Travis said. I looked at Parker with an apologetic smile. I'm sorry. Are you serious? He said, his eyebrows shooting up. You're just going to leave in the middle of dinner? You can still call Brad, right? I asked, standing up. The corners of Travis's mouth turned up infinitesimally as he tossed a 20 on the table. That should cover it. I don't care about the money. Abby! I shrugged. He's my best friend, Parker. If he needs me there, I have to go. I felt Travis's hand encapsulate mine as he led me away. Parker watched with a stunned look on his face. Shepley was already on the phone in his charger, spreading the word. Travis sat in the back with me, keeping my hand firmly in his. I just got off the phone with Adam, Trav. He said the State guys all showed up drunk and padded with cash. They're already riled up, so you might want to keep Abby out of the way. Travis nodded. You can keep an eye on her. Where's America? I asked. Studying for a physics test. That's a nice lab, Travis said. I laughed once and then looked to Travis, who had a small grin on his face. When did you see the lab? You haven't had physics, Shepley said. Travis chuckled, and I elbowed him. He pressed his lips together until the urge to laugh subsided, and then he winked at me, squeezing my hand once again. His fingers entwined in mine, and I heard a small sigh escape his lips. I knew what he was thinking because I felt the same. In that sliver of time, it was as if nothing had changed. We pulled into a dark patch of the parking lot, and Travis refused to let go of my hand until we crawled into the window of the basement of the Hellerton Science Building. It had been built just the year before, so it didn't suffer from stagnant air and dust like the other basements we'd snuck into. Just as we entered the hallway, the roar of the crowd reached our ears. I poked my head out to see an ocean of faces, many of them unfamiliar. Everyone had a bottle of beer in their hand, but the State students were easy to pick out of the crowd. They were the ones that swayed with their eyes half closed. Stay close to Shepley, Pigeon. It's going to get crazy in here, he said from behind me. He scanned the crowd, shaking his head at the sheer numbers. Hellerton's basement was the most spacious on campus, so Adam liked to schedule fights there when he expected a larger crowd. Even with the addition of space, people were being rubbed against the walls and shoving one another to get a good spot. Adam rounded the corner and didn't try to hide his dissatisfaction with my presence. I thought I told you that you couldn't bring your girl to the fights anymore, Travis. Travis shrugged. She's not my girl anymore. I kept my features smooth, but he had said the word so matter-of-factly that I felt a stabbing sensation in my chest. Adam looked down at her intertwined fingers, and then up at Travis.
I'm never gonna figure you two out.
He shook his head and then glanced to the mob. People were still streaming in from the stairs, and those on the floor were already packed together.
We've got an insane pot tonight, Travis, so no fucking off, okay? I'll make sure it's entertaining, Adam.
That's not what I'm worried about. Brady's been training.
So have I.
Bullshit, Shepley laughed. Travis shrugged.
I got in a fight with Trent last weekend. That little shit is fast.
I chuckled and Adam glared at me.
You better take this seriously, Travis, he said, staring into his eyes. I have a lot of money riding on this fight.
And I don't, Travis said, irritated with Adam's lecture. Adam turned, holding the bullhorn to his lips as he stood upon a chair above the multitude of drunken spectators. Travis pulled me against his side as Adam greeted the crowd, and then went over the rules.
Good luck, I said, touching his chest. I hadn't felt nervous to watch him fight other than the one he'd had with Brock McMahon in Vegas, but I couldn't shake the ominous feeling I'd had since we stepped foot in Hellerton. Something was off, and Travis felt it too.
Travis grabbed my shoulders and planted a kiss on my lips. He pulled away quickly, nodding once.
That's all the luck I need.
I was still stunned from the warmth of Travis's lips when Shepley pulled me to the wall beside Adam. I was bumped and elbowed, reminding me of the first night I watched Travis fight. But the crowd was less focused, and some of the state students were getting hostile. Easterners cheered and whistled for Travis when he broke into the circle, and state's crowd alternated between booing Travis and cheering for Brady. I was in prime position to see Brady tower over Travis, twitching impatiently for the bullhorn to sound. As usual, Travis had a slight grin on his face, unaffected by the madness around him. When Adam began the fight, Travis intentionally let Brady get in the first punch. I was surprised when his face jerked hard to the side with the blow. Brady had been training. Travis smiled, his teeth a bright red, and then he focused on matching every punch Brady dealt.
Why is he letting him hit him so much? I asked Shepley.
I don't think he's letting him anymore, Shepley said, shaking his head. Don't worry, Abby. He's getting ready to take it up a notch.
After 10 minutes, Brady was winded, but he still landed solid blows into Travis's sides and jaw. Travis caught Brady's shoe when he tried to kick him, and held his leg high with one hand, punching him in the nose with incredible force, and then lifting Brady's leg higher, causing him to lose his balance. The crowd exploded when Brady fell, but he wasn't on the floor for long. He stood, but with the addition of 2 lines of dark red streaming from his nose. In the next moment, he landed 2 more punches to Travis's face. Blood rose from a cut on Travis's eyebrow and dripped down his cheek. I closed my eyes and turned away, hoping Travis would end the fight soon. The small shift of my body caught me in the current of onlookers, and before I could right myself, I was several feet from a preoccupied Shepley. Efforts to fight against the crowd were ineffective, and before long I was being rubbed against the back wall. The nearest exit was on the other side of the room, an equal distance to the door we'd come in. My back slammed against the concrete wall, knocking the wind out of me.
Shep!
I yelled, waving my hand above me to get his attention. The fight was at its peak. No one could hear me. A man lost his footing and used my shirt to right himself, spilling his beer down my front. I was soaked from neck to waist, reeking with the bitter stench of cheap beer. The man still had my shirt bunched in his fist as he tried to pull himself from the floor, and I ripped his fingers open 2 at a time until he released me. He didn't look twice at me, pushing his way forward through the crowd.
Hey, I know you, another man yelled into my ear.
I leaned away, recognizing him right away. It was Ethan, the man Travis threatened at the bar, the man that had somehow escaped sexual assault charges.
Yeah, I said, looking for a hole in the crowd as I straightened my shirt.
That's a nice bracelet, he said, running his hand down my arm and grabbing my wrist.
Hey, I warned, pulling my hand away. He rubbed my arm, swaying and grinning.
We were rudely interrupted last time I tried to talk to you.
I stood on my tiptoes, seeing Travis land 2 blows into Brady's face. He scanned the crowd between each one. He was looking for me instead of focusing on the fight. I had to get back to my spot before he was too distracted. I had barely made headway into the crowd when Ethan's fingers dug into the back of my jeans. My back slammed into the wall once more.
I wasn't finished talking to you,
Ethan said, scanning my wet shirt. I pulled his hand from the back of my jeans, digging in my nails.
Let go!
I yelled when he resisted.
Ethan laughed and pulled me against him. I don't want to let go. I scanned the crowd for a familiar face, trying to push Ethan away at the same time. His arms were heavy and his grip was tight. In a panic, I couldn't distinguish state students from Easterners. No one seemed to notice my scuffle with Ethan, and it was so loud no one could hear me protest either. He leaned in, reaching his hand around to my backside.
I always thought you'd be a nice piece of ass, he said, breathing stale beer in my face.
Get off! I screamed, pushing him. I looked for Shepley and saw that Travis had finally picked me out of the crowd. He instantly pushed against the packed bodies surrounding him. Travis! I screamed, but it was muffled against the cheering. I pushed Ethan with one hand and reached for Travis with the other. Travis made little progress before being shoved back into the circle. Brady took advantage of Travis's distraction and rammed an elbow in the side of his head. The crowd quieted down a bit when Travis punched someone in the crowd, trying once again to get to me.
Get the fuck off her!
Travis yelled, in a line between where I stood and Travis's desperate attempt to reach me. Heads turned in my direction. Ethan was oblivious, trying to keep me still long enough to kiss me. He ran his nose across my cheekbone and then down my neck.
You smell really good, he slurred.
I pushed his face away, but he grabbed my wrist, unfazed. Wide-eyed, I searched for Travis again. He desperately pointed me out to Shepley.
Get her, Shep! Get Abby!
He said, still trying to push through the crowd. Brady pulled him back into the circle and punched him again.
You're fucking hot, you know that?
Ethan said. I closed my eyes when I felt his mouth on my neck. Anger welled up within me and I pushed him again.
I said get off!
I yelled, ramming my knee into his groin. He doubled over, one hand automatically flying to the source of the pain, the other still gripping my shirt, refusing to let go.
You bitch! He cried.
In the next moment, I was free. Shepley's eyes were wild, staring into Ethan's as he gripped him by the collar of his shirt. He held Ethan against the wall while he nailed him with his fist, repeatedly in the face, stopping only when the blood poured from Ethan's mouth and nose. Shepley pulled me to the stairs, shoving anyone who stood in his path. He helped me through an open window, and then down a fire escape, catching me when I leapt a few feet to the ground.
You okay, Abby? Did he hurt you?
Shepley asked. One sleeve of my white sweater hung only by a few threads. Otherwise, I had escaped unscathed. I shook my head, still stunned. Shepley gently took my cheeks in his hands, looking into my eyes.
Abby, answer me. Are you all right?
I nodded. As the adrenaline absorbed into my bloodstream, the tears began to flow. I'm okay. He hugged me, pressing his cheek against my forehead and then stiffened.
Over here, Trav!
Travis ran at us full speed, slowing only when he had me in his arms. He was covered in blood, his eye dripping and his mouth spattered with red.
Jesus Christ, is she hurt?
He asked. Shepley's hand was still on my back.
She said she's okay.
Travis held me at arm's length by my shoulders and frowned.
Are you hurt, Pidge?
Just as I shook my head, I saw the first of the mob from the basement trickling down from the fire escape. Travis kept me tight in his arms, silently scanning the faces. A short, squat man hopped down from the ladder and froze when he noticed us standing on the sidewalk.
You!
Travis snarled. He let me go, running across the grass, tackling the man to the ground. I looked to Shepley, confused and horrified.
That's the guy that kept shoving Travis back in the circle, Shepley said.
A small crowd gathered around them as they scuffled on the ground. Travis pounded his fist into the man's face over and over. Shepley pulled me into his chest, still panting. The man stopped fighting back, and Travis left him on the ground in a bloody heap. Those gathered around him fanned out, giving Travis a wide berth, seeing the rage in his eyes.
Travis!
Shepley yelled, pointing to the other side of the building. Ethan hobbled in the shadows, using the brick wall of Hellerton to hold himself up. When he heard Shepley yell for Travis, he turned just in time to see his assailant charge. Ethan limped across the lawn, throwing down the beer bottle in his hands and moving as fast as his legs could carry him to the street. Just as he reached his car, Travis grabbed him and slammed him against it. Ethan pleaded with Travis, even as Travis gripped his shirt and rammed his head into the car door. The begging was cut off with the loud thud of his skull against the windshield, and then Travis pulled him to the front of the car and shattered the headlight with Ethan's face. Travis launched him onto the hood, pressing his face into the metal while shouting obscenities.
Shit,
Shepley said. I turned to see Hellerton glow blue and red from the lights of a quickly approaching police cruiser. Droves of people jumped from the landing, forming a human waterfall down the fire escape, and a flurry of running students burst into every direction.
"Travis!" I screamed.
Travis left Ethan's limp body on the hood of the car to sprint towards us. Shepley pulled me to the parking lot, ripping open his door. I jumped into the back seat, anxiously waiting for them both to get in. Cars flew from their spots and out of the driveway, screeching to a halt when a second police car blocked the drive. Travis and Shepley jumped into their seats, and Shepley cursed when he saw the trapped cars backing from the only exit. He slammed the car into drive, and the Charger bounced as it jumped the curb. He spun out over the grass and we flew between two buildings, bouncing again when he hit the road behind the school. The tires squealed and the engine snarled when Shepley slammed his foot on the accelerator. I slid across the seat into the wall of the cab when we took a turn, bumping my already sore elbow. The streetlight streaked across the window as we raced to the apartment, but it seemed like an hour had passed by the time we pulled into the parking lot. Shepley threw the Charger into park and turned off the ignition. The boys opened their doors in silence, and Travis reached into the back seat, lifting me into his arms.
"What happened? Holy shit, Trav, what happened to your face?" America said, running down the stairs.
"I'll tell you inside," Shepley said, guiding her to the door. Travis carried me up the stairs, through the living room and down the hall without a word, setting me on his bed. Toto pawed at my legs, jumping onto the bed to lick my face.
"Not now, buddy," Travis said in a hushed voice, taking the puppy to the hall and shutting the door.
He kneeled in front of me, touching the frayed edges of my sleeve. His eye was in the beginning stages of a bruise, red and swollen. The angry skin above it was cut and wet with blood. His lips were smeared with scarlet, and the hide had been ripped away from some of his knuckles. His once white t-shirt was now soiled with a combination of blood, grass, and dirt. I touched his eye and he winced, pulling away from my hand.
"I'm so sorry, Pigeon. I tried to get to you. I tried."
He cleared his throat of the anger and worry that choked him.
"I couldn't get to you."
"Will you ask America to take me back to Morgan?" I said.
"You can't go back there tonight. The place is crawling with cops. Just stay here, I'll sleep on the couch."
I sucked in a faltering breath, trying to ward off any more tears. He felt bad enough. Travis stood up and opened the door.
"Where are you going?"
I asked. "I've got to get a shower. I'll be right back." America shoved past him, sitting beside me on the bed, pulling me into her chest.
"I'm so sorry I wasn't there," she cried.
"I'm fine," I said, wiping my tear-stained face. Shepley knocked on the door as he entered, bringing me a short glass half full of whiskey.
"Here,"
he said, handing it to America. She cupped my hands around it and nudged me. I tipped back my head, letting the liquid flow down my throat. My face compressed as the whiskey burned its way to my stomach.
"Thanks,"
I said, handing the glass back to Shepley.
"I should have gotten to her sooner. I didn't even realize she was gone. I'm sorry, Abby. I should have..."
"It's not your fault, chap. It's not anyone's fault."
"It's Ethan's fault," he seethed. "That sick bastard was dry-fucking her against the wall."
"Baby!" America said, appalled. She pulled me to her side. "I need another drink," I said, shoving my empty glass at Shepley.
"Me too,"
Shepley said, returning to the kitchen. Travis walked in with a towel around his waist, holding a cold can of beer against his eye. America left the room without a word, as Travis slipped on his boxers, and then he grabbed his pillow. Shepley brought four glasses this time, all full to the brim with amber liquor. We all knocked back the whiskey without hesitation.
"I'll see you in the morning," America said, kissing my cheek.
Travis took my glass, sitting it on the nightstand. He watched me for a moment, and then walked over to his closet, pulling a t-shirt off the hanger and tossing it to the bed.
"Sorry I'm such a fuck-up," he said, holding the beer to his eye.
"You look awful. You're going to feel like shit tomorrow." He shook his head, disgusted.
"Abby, you were attacked tonight. Don't worry about me."
"It's hard not to when your eye is swelling shut," I said, situating his shirt on my lap. His jaw tensed.
"It wouldn't have happened if I just let you stay with Parker. But I knew if I asked you, you'd come. I wanted to show him that you were still mine. And then you get hurt."
The words took me off guard, as if I hadn't heard him right.
"That's why you asked me to come tonight? To prove a point to Parker?"
"It was part of it," he said, ashamed. The blood drained from my face. For the first time since we'd met, Travis had fooled me. I'd gone to Hellerton with him thinking he needed me, thinking that despite everything, we were back to where we were before.
I was nothing more than a water hydrant. He had marked his territory and I had allowed him to do it.